This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. He comes to us every Monday, courtesy of Dirty Dogs Hot Dogs, which we will be on Friday in beautiful O'Fallon, Missouri. I'm excited about that. I'm going to work out all morning so I can pound down about three or four of those hot dogs. They're unbelievable. He is the commish, Rick Hummel. Rick, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir.
Much to discuss. This was the weekend you had to have, and it didn't work out. And the common denominator, you just didn't get lengthy, gutsy performances out of any of your starting pitchers.
A lot of things were as they were during much of the season. The pitchers don't make any plays when balls are hit back to them. They didn't hit with men in scoring position. The bullpen allowed runs in five straight games, all three in Chicago, and the last two in Cincinnati played here. So a lot of things happened that were pretty familiar. The starting pitching has been better than that most of the year, but they didn't get much this weekend, you're right.
You know, it's interesting because Carlos Martinez was really throwing the ball well, like he has, you know, almost all season long. But, man, he has had a brutal year fielding his position, hasn't he?
Yeah, he makes plays that are really hard to make. And the easy ones, rushes, and I can think of three or four double plays that he should have had where they not only didn't get two outs, they didn't even get one.
And then Lance Lynn yesterday, I wonder what the Cubs were thinking as he goes four innings and three runs. I still think there'll be an offer from Chicago forthcoming at the end of the season, don't you?
Well, I would think so. A lot of teams will make offers. There was another play that he should have made yesterday. There was a bunt back to the mound by Quintana. And then at first and second, there's an easy force out at third. I don't know if Lynn didn't have a good grip on the ball or not. He did get the out at first, but that was a double play because the pitcher was running and he wasn't really running.
Do you think this is a aberration season with the fielding of the pitching? And do you think you were in spring training? I mean, they seem like they worked as hard as they normally do.
I guess so. I never take those drills. I don't think they take those drills as seriously as they should. I can't remember the last good fielding play any of their pitchers made. Even Goof made a play the other day that threw the ball to second base, and DeYoung barely held the bag. That ball was ahead for center field, too. So it looked like that these guys treat that thing like it was a grenade when it's hit back to them.
Not to place too much blame on one player, but the Matt Carpenter at bat with the bases loaded kind of told the story of the rivalry of the Cubs and Cardinals now, didn't it?
Well, that was a tough day for him. He had four strikeouts and a ball that Schwarber played into a double. But Molina hit into a double play with the bases loaded and one out earlier in the game. If he gets the ball to the outfield, he can run. The Fowler had the only legitimate big hit yesterday, maybe of the whole series.
Cardinals go 1-8 in Wrigley this season. Boy, Joe Maddon has had the Cardinals' number since he's taken over. I guess it's since July of 2015 that the Cubs have really owned the Cardinals. That's a long stretch here.
Yeah, well, they've had better teams for the most part, and not necessarily 2015, although the playoffs they were better. And then last year, it was actually 10-9, Cubs 10, Cardinals 9 last year. So that was pretty close this year. Not close at all. They're 4-11 with four to go, so that's likely to be 6-13, maybe at the best. That's not a good year at all.
Yeah, I said at the beginning of the program, is I know people want to blame Mike Matheny and say Joe Maddon is so much smarter and everything, but if you look at the Cubs roster, the Cubs should be, with that roster, that team, six games better than the Cardinals.
Well, look at the guys they keep running in there. They got a guy like Happ on the bench. He'd start for every team in the league probably, and he comes in, he's got 16 home runs off the bench. John Jay's a bench man, a terrific bench man. They've got good backup catchers in Avila and Rivera. They bring in Russell off the disabled list. He's good enough to start for anybody. So they're loaded. I mean, they're not maybe the great offensive team that you think they would be, but they have a lot of depth.
Of all the teams that are headed to the postseason, the Cardinals likely won't be one. But I seem to lean towards that Washington team as the team to beat in the National League with that starting pitching. And now Bryce Harper is getting closer and closer to coming back. Who do you think the best team in the National League is?
Well, I picked Washington before the season started. They're only the best team if Harper can be close to full tilt in the playoffs. He's starting to hit now. That gives him 2 weeks to get ready. So I think he'll be ready in some form. Now, will he be his normal self? I don't know. Scherzer hasn't pitched very well lately, but Strasburg has picked up that slack and has been great. And their bullpen's been good enough. They don't have that, still that shutdown closer, but they've got a lot of other guys, Doolittle and Manson. They got, and they've got a few guys, Insler. But I don't know that their bullpen is as good as they want it to be, but I still think they're the best club.
How would you handle Adam Wainwright for the rest of the season if you're Mike Matheny and the Cardinals?
Oh, I don't think he's best out enough to be a starter. I think he would be a reliever most likely in the games that Flaherty starts the rest of the way, because Flaherty's not going to go more than 4 or 5 innings in any of these last 3 starts. He's got one tomorrow, one Sunday, and probably one in Milwaukee the last week of the year. So I think those are the games Wainwright would most likely appear in. I don't see him appearing in a late inning, one out situation. I think he's pitching a couple, 3 innings at a time, but no more than that.
The Hall of Famer Rick Cumble joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Let's talk about the rotation for next season. I think we have 3 for sure starters in Waka, Weaver, and Martinez. Is that the way you read it, or what do you think?
Right. Yes, I that's the way I read it. Flaherty's possible. Lynn, we don't know. And Wainwright, it's possible. And maybe he thinks probably.
Which of the young kids do you think also has a chance, besides Flaherty, of being actually in the rotation next year? And we haven't mentioned Reyes.
Well, right. He would be the one. So that if he's able to pitch at the start of the season, he might be a reliever. But I think he'd be a starter before too much longer. So he'd be almost a guaranteed 4 starter at some point in the early part of the season. Dakota Hudson, who is Memphis's best pitcher, and I suspect he'll pitch that playoff game tomorrow night. And Grant, they're playing for the industry at the Polite Championship tomorrow night against the Dirt Bulls. I think he'll get that started. He's not too far from being in the rotation next year.
I want to get your take on another interesting topic, the closing situation. How do you think the Cardinals will handle the Trevor Rosenthal contract, and he probably won't be ready till next August, maybe next September. And how do you think they'll approach Juan Nicasio?
I think they might make Rosenthal an offer of a 2-year offer with a lot of incentives for games pitched. That would seem to be the best way to go about that. I don't think he's going to get any kind of offer from anybody else that would be better than that, with those teams knowing that he's not going to be able to pitch till next summer, late next summer. Nicasio, I would extend an offer to. I don't know if he's got closer stuff. I don't know if he'd be their closer, though. But I think that's something to look at. I think the closer for next year is not on this club right now.
Is the shortstop, do you believe that Paul DeJong is going to be a shortstop long-term, or do you think they could move him to third base?
I like him at shortstop. He covers more ground than I thought he could cover to his left, especially. And I'm okay with him there. They've got a lot of third basemen. One of the things we haven't talked about here is how much Jed Jerko has missed in that lineup. He was starting to hit again when he hurt his hamstring, and he's a good third baseman. I'm okay with him at third base again next year.
But so then, where are your changes if DeJong is your shortstop and Wong is your second baseman and Jerko is your third baseman? Where are your changes?
Well, I'm okay with Jerko, though. I'm not saying if you brought in somebody like Donaldson, you couldn't make an adjustment there. But I think first base is up for grabs. I don't know that Martinez is an everyday player at that position. And Carpenter, where is he best? He's probably best at first base than at third base, where it seems to put more strain on his arm, which is already troublesome. He'll probably have to have some surgery on that when the season's over. They got a lot of moving parts here, but they do have to get, no matter if he's an infielder or an outfielder, one big bat in the middle of the lineup. It happens to be Donaldson or Stanton or Ozuna or Yelich or whoever, then you adjust accordingly. But I still like Jerko at third base, let's say, if that big bat comes in the outfield.
Can you fathom the Cardinals taking on Stanton's contract?
He'd have to have a lot of help from Miami. I don't know that you could take on all $295 million. And I don't think that many teams are going to be able to do that or want to do that, because he's had a monstrous year this year, but we're talking about a few more years to he's going to have to play here, and this is the best year he's ever had and the healthiest he's ever been for a guy who hasn't been healthy a lot of these seasons that he's played. You'd like to have a guy like that, and you explore all the possibilities to see what it would take, but that's going to take a real sitting down at some boardroom meeting sometime and say, can we actually do this? I'd like to see him try, because they need that fierce weapon in the middle of the lineup. They got to have somebody.
Yeah, there's no way they could go into next season without some huge impact bat and expect to beat the Cubs, correct?
And expect to sell as many tickets as they've sold in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, people want to see change here. They've supported this team to the tune of $3 million and considerable change this year, and they want a better club. And so do the Cardinals, of course, but the fans want a masher in the middle of the lineup.
And how would you state their chances now? Are you calling it over, or how would you state the present chances?
Oh, it's like Yogi said. It's not over till it's over. You do have Milwaukee playing the Cubs four on the weekend from Thursday to Sunday in Milwaukee. The Cardinals are going to have to win 5 out of 6 in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh at the least to make this potential happen, because you do have the 7 with the Cubs and Cardinals. If they can't be 6 games behind the Cubs when the Cubs come in here, but if they're 4 behind, if they got make up 2 games this week, then the math is there. I mean, you have to win all 4 games, of course, and then you have the 3 from Milwaukee. So if they weren't playing those teams at all, you'd have to say it was over. It's darn close to being over, but they still have to keep playing. And first of all, they got to get ahead of Milwaukee. If they don't get ahead of Milwaukee, they're not going anywhere. They're 2 games behind them. That's the team you take your first shot at, is getting ahead of them.
Good stuff, Commish. We appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, the Hall of Famer Rick Hummel joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Reaction on that, you can be a part of the program on the Lions Choice, but the First Tee text lines, 855-282-8255, the First Tee text lines. And that was brought to you by Dirty Dogs Hot Dogs. Be with us in O'Fallon on Friday. Brendan is happy about driving to Kirkwood all the time, and now I'm going to drive to O'Fallon on Friday. But I'm excited because they have just unbelievable food. I mean, their hot dogs, they have 200 different toppings to choose from, and they have a hot dog, the most creative hot dog selection in the history of mankind. So be with us at Dirty Dogs Hot Dogs on Friday. It's at 403 St. John Drive in O'Fallon, Missouri. Taste the best hot dogs in St. Louis. We'll take a short time out. More on the Barry Odom saga and some text when we come back.